The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome, my dear friends. Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Happy Saturday morning to you. Freedom Above Fortune radio show comes to you courtesy of Frank Talk 104.3 FM, as well as worldwide on the internet, courtesy of Liberty Works Radio Network. Tell your friends they can listen to this great network and support it by visiting lwrn.net. That's Liberty Works Radio Network, a network that brings you radio programming you will not hear anywhere else. As always, I ask you to support Liberty Works Radio Network. You can go to lwrn.net and click on the Join Donate button in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage. Given the many blessings God has bestowed on our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven. So I always start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You and I both know that our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. You can click on Mailing List on the left-hand side of the homepage. You can also go to agentfortruth.com for more information about me and my work, and there's also a way to join the email list there at agentfortruth.com. Briefly, for the benefit of new listeners, I'm a former IRS special agent. I worked in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws do not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a great deal of documents and evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true, and when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me, but they also encouraged me to resign from my position at the IRS. So my IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999, when I did in fact resign from the Internal Revenue Service, and I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other constitutional liberty-related matters ever since. I'm featured in a film called America, Freedom to Fascism. The film takes a provocative look at the Federal Reserve and federal income tax systems, and I highly recommend that you watch the film as soon as possible. If you've already watched the film, be sure to recommend it to others. You can type in the words America, Freedom to Fascism into any search engine and watch the movie for free, or you can order copies at freedomtofascism.com, and fascism is F-A-S-C-I-S-M, freedomtofascism.com. My guest for today's show is Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org, and I came across copblock a recent interview that Gary Franchi of rtr.org and restorethe republic.org and .com saw this interview of these gentlemen from copblock.org, and I thought it might be a good idea to see what they're up to. I think I've mentioned to the listeners in the past that I come from a law enforcement family. Of course, I was in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division as a federal criminal investigator for 5.5 years. I've got a brother that's a sergeant in the state police, another brother that's a city police officer, and the third brother is a battalion chief in a fire department. So I definitely had government service in my background, and of course, due respect to what law enforcement does and has to do. But there does seem to be, especially over the last couple decades, a real increase in brutality and misconduct on the part of law enforcement. And so this isn't, at least my intention, and I don't think my guess is either, is to do any bashing or us versus them. However, the citizens do have inalienable rights, either via their state constitutions or their federal constitution. And we need to make sure that those rights are respected and that the law is respected from both sides. So I guess our guest, again, is Ademo Freeman, founder of CopBlock.org. And Ademo, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you guys taking the time.
Well, first off, Ademo, maybe you could just let the listeners know a little bit about yourself, and then feel free to branch off into how, you know, how you decided that an organization like CopBlock needed to be formed.
Sure. Again, my name is Ademo, and I'm about to be 29 years old. I did a project in 2009 called The Motorhome Diaries with Jason Talley and Pete Ayer, and that was 7 months of us traveling the country in our RV in what we called the Search for Freedom in America. And after that, I had some downtime, and I was kind of, you know, still hopped up from doing the projects, traveling around, and I needed something to fill the void of not being on the road any longer. And being a victim of the war on drugs myself, a two-time felon, actually, due to the war on drugs, I had police interactions most of my life, and more so as I became more involved in activism. So I wanted a place to share my story, and so I created CopBlock.org. Again, just as a place to share my own personal venture with police officers. It quickly turned into something more popular, and I acquired a few more bloggers, and we've pretty much become a decentralized organization, meaning there is no, I may be the founder, but there is no one person says, you know, we all do whatever. And, you know, as our mission statement says, is we are a diverse group of individuals who have the shared goal of police accountability, and we're going to use, you know, everyone's varied slightly perspective on how to educate people to hold police officers accountable. So people can head on over to CopBlock.org. They'll see clicks to our YouTube channels or Facebook or other social networks. They can follow along, keep updated, watch our videos that several of the contributors make, but they can also watch what other people submit, what the writers at CopBlock.org are writing about. We have featured authors and other things that come in once a month or so, and a podcast where people can download and play it to their iTunes, iPad, iPhone, whatever. And really, just like I said before, everyone can come to one place, see a diverse group of individuals who have very different ways, some in the system, out of the system, through the courts. And we know once we get in the courts, there's a thousand ways to go about it. But all these different people are showing how they do it. And you as a viewer, you as somebody who's about to go through something, can pick and choose and watch and learn from a variety of different people, and then, you know, form your own plan of a police accountability.
Excellent, excellent. Maybe, I mean, since you've courteously agreed to be on for the entire show, can you give a little more information about, you know, you said about the Motorhome Diaries and what that was all about and what you experienced, at least some of the highlights.
Sure.
And then when you said a victim of the war on drugs, you know, be as specific as you please.
No problem. I mean, we could start back. I was, you know, out of high school. I went to work. I was in the factory business. You know, I was basically a factory worker. But my friends went to college, and I had a job, so I had money. And this thing just evolved by going to visit my friends every weekend that I ended up, you know, having money, was able to buy pot, and then my other friends would want some. And pretty much by default became a marijuana dealer, got arrested, caught a felony charge, did my time, paid my debt to society, wanted to start flipping houses during the housing boom, started my own business, having a slight construction background as well, got my real estate license. Then all of a sudden, police started harassing me after I was released from probation and stuff like that, and ended up having a reporter come to my house who then reopened an investigation into my real estate license, which they then revoked, which ruined my business of flipping houses. And I, at the same time, was then arrested again for marijuana possession, 1.75 grams. And since I was already a felon, any possession was a felony. So at that time, I came pretty separated from the justice system. Here, you know, when I was first arrested with, you know, 10 pounds of pot, a bunch of cash, I bought it. I bought that I was a drug dealer and a bad person, and a woman even came up to me and chewed me out once when I was pumping gas and how I was polluting her community, and I bought it all hook, line, and sinker. I was straight-edged on my probation. I paid my fines. I did my time. I did my community service hours. I did everything. And it was towards the end of that and through that process when I learned it was more of a life sentence, and more so when the news article and police harassment continued, that what did I really do wrong? I provided a good or service like any other business, McDonald's, Walgreens, or anything like that, to people who voluntarily wanted it. And even more so, I could have looked at it more completely and said, this is my body. It's my body. I own it. I own myself. And if I want to choose to put something in my body, nobody, including the government, has the right to tell me not to. And so when I caught my second felony off of harassment, the my first discovery was like 187 pages. The one that raided my house the second time was one page with 4 points on it. One was my previous record. The second was that they claimed to have found beaners and stems in my garbage but could never produce them. The third was that the cop was a undercover narcotics officer once in his career. And the fourth was that they said somebody had witnessed me smoking marijuana. So that's the points they made to get a search warrant in my house. And when they came in, I just said, yeah, there's a little bag here, gave me my ticket and leave, and I didn't know it was a felony. So when that happened, they wanted me to do a year of probation. I didn't want to be on probation knowing how that went last time, being harassed, urine test. Basically, probation is just something to squeeze out. You know, you pay to be on probation, you have to jump through those hoops, and any time you go back to jail. But they get as many months out of you or years as they can, and just before you're about to be released, they do whatever they can to revoke you and throw you back into the system to serve your time, to leech more money through the taxation and prison systems. So I was very opposed to probation, so I decided to revoke myself. I was given like a 50-day sentence, but I had done some time that was credited. Ended up doing 49 days, but was released in like 31 with good behavior. And that's when I decided, that's when my activism kind of turned up. I went with politicians trying to change marijuana laws. I ended up selling my house, moving out of that town, became very active online. And in my home in Wisconsin, I lived in a town of 5,000 people. Back home, I had these ideas about self-ownership and can the government do these things to you? And everyone thought I was crazy, so I had an idea to do a project on the road for 60 days, you know, to see if, you know, I was wrong or if everyone else was. But that plan failed when two of my friends backed out. At that same time, the MIAC report had come out in Missouri saying anybody who was a Ron Paul fan, which I was, or supporter at the time, would be labeled as a terrorist, and that they were having this Campaign for Liberty conference in St. Louis, and all police were put on notice about this. Like, Gadsden flags, Ron Paul bumper stickers were like warning signs. So I had traveled down there, being from the Milwaukee area, just north of. I traveled down to St. Louis with a friend, and I met another individual who is a mutual friend between me and my now partner on the RV, Pete Ayer. And I told her the story of how I wanted to do this, but my friends backed out of traveling the country. She said, oh, my friends just started. They're doing a project called Motorhome Diaries. And or no, they're about to start in a week. And so I went back home to Wisconsin, and the day they started, I was following along. They were coming through Chicago. And I emailed them to come up to Wisconsin. It was April 2009, Easter weekend. And I said, you guys should come up here. And they're like, well, we can't. We have a deadline to get to L.A. within a month, and it's all the way across the country, and we have a couple stops. And I said, oh, it's too bad. I said, I wonder what I could do to get on board. And they said, hi, were you serious? Because we have an open spot for a month. And that was about 2.5 years ago. But, yeah, that's ultimately how I got on to Motorhome Diaries. I was supposed to stay for just 1 month, and the other third guy backed out, so I ended up staying for the full tour, although I did go home for a month period when a family member got in an accident.
I see. All right, we're going to have to take a break. Damo Freeman, copblock.org, and we'll be right back after.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are turrets orange?
Actually...
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The sunrise.
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in the grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government. It up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make. They're power hungry and malicious. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes.
To freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Determination.
information. Pass it on. Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car, and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. And our guest is Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org. And having what I consider to be a fascinating discussion with someone who's certainly seen many different aspects of our law enforcement and judicial systems, I'm sure local, state, I don't know about federal yet, but certainly seen a lot that many of us have not seen, and I think it's a great learning experience for all of us, so we really appreciate Ademo joining us. So, Ademo, you were saying that the you were talking about Judge Burke and this incident, and you know, I appreciate your explanation about the press versus just any citizen asking questions. And I guess the reason I was wondering was just what the context of how you and him were in the same room. Was it, you know, was he hearing cases and you wanted to go in and, you know, were you
no,
there?
He was just walking into work. See, I'm another thing I do is, or here in Keene that activists do, is they do don't take the plea deal outreach. And this is just a trifold pamphlet that we hand to individuals who come into court every day, you know, the victims of the system for victimless crimes primarily, and that we hand them these things, and it talks about not taking the plea deal and how they're better off in the long run not doing it. Now, Keene is a college town, so they get a lot of underage drinking tickets, and that's a perfect thing to perfect example. But if all these kids would take these underage drinking tickets to trial, it would become so expensive for the city to prosecute these guys that they would just tell the police to stop arresting underage kids for drinking. You would essentially get rid of the 21-year-old drinking limit by peaceful non-cooperation, you know, questioning the law, saying, do I not have the right to put in my body what I want? Do I not own my body? And if the state, I mean, if the state charges you and cages you for that, they're essentially saying they own you. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not a slave. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see it. So that's something copblock.org is going to help campaign with next season. But the reason why Burke and I were in that courtroom is because, or in that lobby that same day, is because I was coming to do Don't Take the Plea to Outreach. And since I do that, I know Burke when he comes into work. So when I seen him come into work, I grabbed my camera to ask him a couple questions.
I see.
Right. So he was just, he wasn't in his courtroom. He wasn't on the bench. I didn't interrupt the proceedings. Legally, I don't know the exact answer. Some people say the judge has absolute immunity wherever, and he can run around pumping gas or being out to eat at a restaurant and arrest people or order them detained. But other people tell me that he can't unless he's in the courtroom. But I'm about to find out because, I mean, I spent 2.5 days in a cage. So, I mean, somebody's got to answer some questions about that.
So did the local prosecutor actually then charge you with these that influence charge, and that's what you're kind of waiting to see, or did you say they just dropped those charges?
They did. They null-pros them. I guess the county attorney, since it's a felony charge, still has the chance to put it in front of a grand jury to see if they want to press charges, but with the video, I highly doubt they're going to want to do that. Again, if people want to check out that video, they can go to copblock.org /Burke's video, BURKEVIDEO. It's about a 90-second video, and it's clearly this judge lies and abuses his power, because if he's not a judge, in my opinion, at that point. He's any other individual in a public space in a stairwell. He then filed a false police report because he called the police and said that I threatened him. The police showed up and said they were investigating someone threatening them with a judge. I begged them to watch the video, which they wouldn't. He then came back and said, the officer came back and said that I improperly influenced a judge, essentially bribed him, and I begged them again to watch the footage. We then went to the police station. They took fingerprints. This whole time, I think I'm going to get like a ticket and have to be in court in a month. Then they tell me it's a felony and I had to go back for a bail hearing, and that's when it all went downhill, because they put a $5,000 cash bail on me, even though I've never missed a day of court. The only reason they cited is because I live in an RV, and that, oh, I'm also out on a signature bond in Manchester. I live in an RV, and I have felonies from 10 years ago. So that's why they made my cash bail $5,000. Though what they failed to mention was, but what I did say to the judge is, there's never been any victim or violence in any of my alleged crimes or convicted crimes, if you can call them that. And I said, I've also never missed a court date. And if I'm such a career criminal, like, why would I miss court dates? Also, my bond in Manchester, New Hampshire, is for writing children's chalk on a sidewalk outside of a police station. A police station which murdered a man in a standoff a month before, a police station that had four officers beat a guy up so he has no feeling or teeth in the left side of his face, and they were recently cleared as the excessive force was justified. So that's the police station's sidewalk I was writing on, and they charged me with criminal mischief for writing the Manchester Police Abuse Your Rights, visit copblock.org.
Wow. So,
because of that, they said I needed $5,000 bail, and I was lucky enough to have an anonymous supporter bail me out, because we just finished up the Free State Friendship Tour, and next week I have a trial starting in Greenfield, Massachusetts, for felony wiretapping. Again, I was filming police officers in a lobby of a jail. We were trying to bail out a friend. No rules, no warnings, no nothing. They say that you're being recorded on the door when you walk in. They have no rules. Their rules are all posted on the plaque. They don't say you can or can't record. I went to jail for it, and it's been a year-long battle, and we're finally now coming to trial, and I'm representing myself. If folks want to get caught up on that story, they can head over to copblock.org/Greenfield, GRENFIELD.
And I'm just curious, I imagine the listeners might be too.
I'm probably confusing them with as many court cases as I have.
Well, I mean, this is just amazing. So this wiretapping case, they haven't dropped the charges yet, and you're about to approach trial, and they must be figuring out, if they haven't already, that you're not giving in. You won't be pleading guilty to anything.
You're right. I'm not sure this won't go like my last case, the felony charges, which went within 24 hours of going to court and then was dropped. But they did offer us a plea deal a couple months ago. Pay them $300, promise not to sue them, and do a couple of years of probation, and this will all go away. Mind you, myself and Pete Ayer, I'm facing 7 to 9 years in prison for my three charges. Pete, who has an additional VIN manipulation, even though we have an affidavit from the makers of the RV saying that there was no VIN in the locations they are looking for and that they are here, here, and here, where they never looked, and as well as another felony for ammunition possession, allegedly, even though we don't know why they were looking in a locked storage unit ammunitions box for a VIN number. There's a motion to suppress that evidence coming up on Monday. So Pete's looking at about 10 to 14 years in prison. And so, yeah, all that time, and they're willing to settle for $300, not suing them, and a year of probation, makes you wonder how the justice system is. And since we didn't sign that form or take their plea deal, they're going to prosecute us for the full length of our time.
Wow. Now, do you, for this Massachusetts deal, do you have an opportunity for a public defender, or do you find that that'd be just more trouble than it'd be worth?
Well, I do think public defenders are more trouble than they're worth, because, I mean, let's look at it for what it is, right? these people work together every day. The person that is trying to accuse you of a crime, the police officer or the district attorney, is paid for by the state. The guy who's going to judge your crime is or sentence you for your crime is also paid for by the state. The judge is who I'm referring to. And if you had a public offender, he's also paid for by the state. I mean, what kind of justice do you really think you're going to get there, first? Second, in Massachusetts, I could have paid $150 to the state. They would have assigned me a public defender, and no matter what or how long or whatever it took, the city would have picked up that tab. But I have personal objections and qualms with doing that, because I know that that man isn't just going to get $150 and do an infinite amount of work for me. He's going to bill a state, who is then going to bill taxpayers, you know, which essentially to me, taxation is nothing more than theft, because if I wouldn't feel right if anybody who was taxed for my legal defense, if they did not want to pay that, the government would force them to. They would, if somebody said, no, I do not want to give $5 to a Demos public defender, men with guns would come to that person's house and take them and or their property, you know, in order to get them to comply with paying that $5. So on just a moral objection, I would not take a public defender. You could even go further to say I didn't do anything wrong. We had court hearings where they were telling us to sign forms and do all this stuff, and Pete and I just kept asking questions. We said, why do we have to do anything? Tell us who the victim was. Show me who I harmed, who I physically hurt, whose property I damaged, and I would be happy to come to an agreement with them on how to fix it. You know, I'm not a perfect person. I've done wrong to people. I've damaged somebody's property on accident, and heck, even on purpose in my life. But I've always made right with these people. You know, you and an individual who you've harmed can come to agreement. If you break my window to my car, well, I know how much it costs. I know how much anguish it costs, and I can probably put a dollar amount or at least some sort of stipulation, as in don't ever come around here again, in order to satisfy me in justice. The court, though, cannot produce this victim. They can't say, here is Joe, who you, a Damo, punched in the face. He then went to a doctor for a $150 bill, which he now wants you to pay plus $300 for his lost wages. Will you do that? I would be happy to if I did something of such act. But they can produce nobody, nor can they produce any amount or substance of loss or damage, and therefore I don't understand why I need to accuse or defend myself from accusations that that are made up by a fictitious person called the state.
Well, you got no argument from me. I mean, and I also have to commend you for having the foresight to see all the ramifications of what you're doing and what it would lead to, and you know, even to the point of realizing that someone somewhere down the line is going to be paying a tax based on the much more than $150 that the public defender is going to earn. And it just goes to show the injustice, you know, the smallest little injustice leads to huge injustices for everyone.
Right. I mean, I can't sleep at night knowing that men or people were threatened, pay this or else, you know, no matter how much I could use it or need it, which I don't really think. I mean, like I said, the videos don't lie to me, and that's why that's a big thing around coplock.org, to bring it back a little bit, is we advocate that the best tool we have is video. You know, video got me off of this felony charge with Burke. Video, I don't think we'll find 6 or 12 people, depending on the jury size, that will watch the video, and everyone else can see it too. It is at coplock.org's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/thecoplock. It's a 27-minute long video, so it's a little long, but if you really want to stick it out, you can see that during the time we make all these very logical arguments about them filming us, their rules say that we don't have to film them, we see their demeanor. At one point, they even agree with us on some issues, and later tell us that we can bail out our friend. Not exactly, but I mean, they said, if you have the money and your friend can go, fine, you know, sit down and wait. And then we left to go get the money, but then changed their mind. So anybody who watches this, even if they agree that maybe we were annoying, maybe we weren't in the, you know, maybe we could have just shut off the cameras, of course. But if you want to look at it in a practical matter, do you, citizen of Greenfield, resident of Massachusetts, want to pay for me to be in a prison at $30,000 a year because I recorded somebody who was already recording me? You know, is that what you want your money for? And if so, I think you're a little sick, but whatever. You know, let's see if all those people who feel that way can pull up enough money to pay for that, because I highly doubt it.
Yeah, and I would hope. I mean, obviously you're risking a great deal, but hopefully at that point, when you have some of your peers, at least from a different state, but some of those your peers nonetheless, who get a chance to see what went on. Anyway, our guest is Ademo Freeman of CopBlock.org, and we're really happy that he's joined us to explain all these important issues to us. We'll be right back after these messages.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, not everyone understands that.
You don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
This is Randall Yearout on Subversion. Just based on current facts before us, our nation's political leaders in elected office and both major parties have embraced policies and legislation subversive to our American form of law and government. Therefore, I think it profitable to visit the wisdom of our founding fathers regarding this kind of behavior. Samuel Adams, regarding spreading the wealth around and centralized control of the economy, said these ideas are, quote, as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. They are arbitrary, despotic, and in our form of government, unconstitutional. Unquote. These charges could be aimed directly at our president and Congress today. Thomas Jefferson wrote of a central government so strong that it borders on monarchy, "These men have no right to office. If a monarchist be in office anywhere, and it be known to the president, the oath he has taken to support the Constitution imperiously requires the instantaneous dismission of such officer, and I hold the president criminal if he permitted such to remain. To appoint a monarchist to conduct the affairs of a republic is like appointing an atheist to the priesthood." Unquote. The situation in America today is socialism for we the people and a political class who think they're monarchs rather than our agents. Congressmen openly insulting citizens exercising their First Amendment rights to redress. Congressmen taxing future generations without their consent. Presidents and judges approving of all this with their silence. These will be our defining years in the eyes of our children and grandchildren, but if we do nothing, we will come to nothing. We need Americans in great numbers to join us.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Thomas Jefferson, in his writings, left us many warnings about corrupt bankers and politicians. I place economy among the first and most important virtues, and public debt as the greatest of dangers to be feared. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our choice between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude. If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of caring for them, they will be happy. What our country needs is a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, and which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it had earned. Jefferson warned that ignorant and free can never be. He was a true defender of the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network.
People are surprised to learn that natural family planning couples have a lower divorce rate than couples who use other methods of family planning. NFP couples report better communication that improves marital intimacy and respect. For information on how you and your spouse can learn natural family planning in English or Spanish, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444 to join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org. Also, libertyontour.com is another place you can check out. I checked that out during the break. Ademo was explaining just before the break, at least where we left off, about this case in Greenfield, Massachusetts, where he's basically being accused of wiretapping due to videotaping an encounter with law enforcement. And so a question that came up in my mind, Ademo, is how... what's it like to be completely on your own, not having legal counsel, having basically 12 people who haven't been chosen yet who are going to decide your fate? Again, a tremendous risk that you're taking to show, well, to basically push the limits of what rights we're supposed to have. Just they're not challenged that often. How does that feel?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. And you know who would is everybody out there who's taking the plea deals, who's using the public defenders, because all of those people are the ones who are alone. Even the ones who hire the lawyers, you're alone. They're all in a circle together. They all work together. I'm not saying it's on a conspiracy level, but just by basic relationships, you know, somebody you know that you work with every day, you're going to cut more favors to than somebody who just comes and goes every now and then. And so I wouldn't know what it feels like to be alone, because between, you know, Pete Ayer, my best friend, business partner, you know, sidekick on everything that we do together, he's awesome. Besides him, there's all the New Hampshire activists, there's activists all over the country, there's the copblock.org of supporters and libertyontour.com. I mean, we aren't doing this alone. Everything we do in court and everything we do on video is for educational value. You know, I have my own particular beliefs on what I feel are the best way to get accountability and whatever, but, you know, people will comment that, hey, call the cops, like a sheriff, the next time a city cop is bad. So one time I did that. You know, call the police when the police are parking illegally, have them ticket him, so I do that. You know, call them up and demand this paperwork and do that. So I do all that to show people, you know, not only that, hey, you can do it too, and it's this easy, but also that this may or may not work, so we can, you know, really get a good idea about it. But so for me, I'm not alone. There are one time I was arrested in Las Vegas, and you know, the supporters of the work that we do and the activists who share all our stuff when in a call of action shut down the Las Vegas phone system. I mean, they ended up letting me out, dropping my charges before I was even out of jail. So I mean, there is a huge group of people behind me, and it is definitely not Ademo or Pete or just the brands that do these things on their own. There is a huge network of folks out there supporting us. And like we like to say, this other stuff is educational, the videos and whatever. Where we're really doing our best work is in the court of public opinion. You know, that's what got me out of jail in Las Vegas. That's what got me out of here. You know, the minute I put this video up, 20,000 views in a day, and I don't know how many phone calls to probably the district court, police station here in Keene. You know, when people, the mayor's office, when people are getting phone calls and they start worrying about their image, their tax revenue, their job, that if it's an elected job, oh man, they're making us look really bad. Look how much we're probably not needed is really what you get down to. And they start to worry and they start backpedaling just as fast as they come on. So I hope other people see that as well and get inspired to, you know, draw their line in the sand a little further and a little further and a little further down the road until, hey, you know, we don't need any guys in costumes with badges who think they have more rights than us. We can police ourselves through a voluntary free market, you know, one of voluntary exchanges where the market decides, you know, what needs need to be met.
Well, certainly there's been an incredible encroachment on you know, what rights we've had, and people take it for granted. And you know, I've had my own experiences with trying to exercise my rights and then finding that, wow, you know, lots of those government officials don't expect you to exercise those rights and don't want you to, and they're going to make it right. Extremely miserable for you if you try. And kind of like that movie Ants, where you know, the powers that be realize that if enough people start waking up, it's over.
Exactly.
By over, I mean their tyranny is over. And
I mean, Judge Burke thought that once he made the mistake of threatening, he probably realized that rather quickly. They called in another judge to do my bail hearing because he obviously couldn't. He probably told that judge, set his bail high so he can't get out. In a week, he'll have a probable cause hearing. Since he's in jail, he won't get the video. He won't get any motions out. We'll find him guilty. You know, our other judge buddy will find him guilty in a probable cause hearing. He'll then maybe bail out or be sent back to jail, and then he'll have to wait, you know, months of motions and then a trial to settle it out. Instead, what they didn't expect is that I got bailed out, that I was able to motion of a discovery of Freedom of Information Act for the evidence and have my property returned to me. And then I got the video out before the probable cause hearing, to which they had, and I also subpoenaed the judge to appear at the probable cause hearing, something that would have never happened if I was in jail. And between those two aspects right there, subpoenaing the judge to a point where he had to come on a stand and lose all his immunity and actually answer to what he thought was threatening and or improper influence, and two, the fact that so many people seen the video and could say that, hey, this isn't right, they didn't want any more publicity than that. So it just goes to show you that the network that coplock.org can supply for people who use video and do their activism in a what, you know, people think is an effective manner, people will support you. And like I said, you win in the court of public opinion first, and the court of law has nothing to do with it. They'll back down because the court of law is paid for by the court of public opinion. And if they go against that, people will start saying, why am I paying for you? And that's the last thing they want.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like person or persons that helped you raise that $5,000 knew that you were a good investment. I mean, first of all, with the amount that you're exposing, how this stuff really works, and secondly, because as you said, you always show up in court, then that money's very safe.
Exactly. Yes, I always show up for court. I mean, I don't like it. It is a threat. But people will ask me, well, why do you? Well, I do it to show people. I'm going to show you how little justice you find in a courtroom, how biased it is and how stacked against you it is. I mean, if you want to see the hypocrisy of a courtroom, go down to your local courthouse, stand by the front door, and watch who they search. The cops and anybody who works there can walk in without being searched, and everybody else is searched thoroughly, oftentimes through metal detectors or with the wands. I mean, the people who pay for it are the ones who are coming there and being searched. You know, I mean, is a cop less likely to go crazy than any other individual? You know, and you let them walk in there with a firearm. So come on. I mean, aren't all people created equal? No man better than another? I mean, these are things like you watch this stuff, and I'm just appalled by, like, you know, the amount of the level of the double standard, you know, of police officers and bureaucrats in general. You know, you talk about the us them mentality. I definitely don't have one, but they do. You know, the bureaucrats label us free staters up here. I'm an individual, you know, who moved to be around more people that think like me. Don't you want to live in a neighborhood with people that you associate and relate to? I think most people do. Who wants to live next door to somebody you have nothing in common with? You know, not
when
me.
You drive the
I like to know my neighbors.
You drive the point home on the website with, you know, again, there are plenty of officers and agents throughout the country who have very high integrity and, you know, would give you the shirt off their back and obey their oath to the support in the Constitution. But this one particular officer of the year, was caught as a meth trafficker.
Yeah, I've seen that. Rob posted that story this morning. I haven't had a chance to read it myself, but that just goes to show you. I mean, officer of the year, meth trafficker. The most secure place in the world is supposedly maximum security prisons, but they still get drugs in there too, and, you know, they're not smuggling, the inmates aren't smuggling it in. All the war on drugs does is create a black market, and the black market makes things very profitable. And it sounds like even this officer, who probably did a lot of good in between, just couldn't resist the temptation of making a dollar. And I don't know if I could blame him, especially over something that's a voluntary transaction, you know. It's a good or service. I mean, if somebody wants it, you can't stop it.
What can you tell us about the government officials? You know, we don't need to have any names, and you can even be nebulous about describing their position if that might give it away. But you must encounter different government officials, from the low-level administrative secretary to, you know, prosecutors. Have you encountered anyone who's been supportive, even if silently and under their breath?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even Pete, who probably had the most prolific experience with a law enforcement officer, was in Greenfield, Massachusetts, the case we've been talking about a good amount of time here. Pete and I, whenever we're asked questions while being booked and stuff, we're always asking them questions. You know, we're talking to these officers in Greenfield, and not the ones that arrest us. These are like booking guys and da-da-da-da-da. So not as harsh with them, but, you know, they're talking about, well, this is their job, and they like what they do. And so we talk to them about how their job would be, you know, easier, probably more profitable if done with the private market. You know, all these good cops, you know, should run out. They should. If only 5% of cops are bad, the 95% should run to the private market, start their own policing agency, take $50 from every person that they can voluntarily get to commit to having their service every month, and say, I will come and fingerprint and cover bank robberies or whatever it might be. You know, if there's a death at your house, we'll fingerprint and do whatever and try to catch a criminal if you call me. But until you call me, you got to give me $50 every day. And when you call me, I'll bill you for my service. You know, that would be great. Think of officers then. They wouldn't have to mess with, do you have a driver's license, insurance, are you a citizen, you know, are you smoking pot, are you drunk? They would only have to go when somebody was actually harmed. And most people at this point, being 2011, would probably use some sort of video technology. So most police would probably have to show up and just watch a video and then track down an individual in order for them to pay restitution to another. I mean, it would be such, you know, great, fulfilling work in my mind, if I were a police officer, to do that, as opposed to, like, some police officers who have contacted me through copblock.org who say, I can't believe I'm spending 80% of my time harassing peaceful people, you know, generating revenue for the state. You know, these are both active and former cops, and they're always between 65 and 85%, their estimates. So it's just amazing how, you know, the police don't see it this way. The beauty of the system, from the clerk to the police officer to the mayor to the president, is that they all feel that they're doing something good. You know, even the clerk of courts who says, well, I take property tax money, and that money goes to help the school and the children. And the cop says, oh, I'm taking potheads off the street because drug dealers lead to violence. Like, I know millions of potheads, and none of them are violent. But even the mayor who's like, oh, I zone this area because then all the noise will be over here and the taxes will be funneled right and we'll get this revenue, they all, which will go to the children. You know, they all, every single role that is played in government is so broken and removed that they can find a justification for why it's right, even though essentially it breaks down to pointing a gun at somebody, because the government, through the police and all the other agencies they have, could have a monopoly on force. You know, if the government said we all have to own Apple computers, we'd lose our minds, people would go nuts. But since it's force, everybody's okay with it. Yes, the government, whoever that is, it's not even a person, they can do it. You know, if I walked up to you, Joe, and pointed a gun at you and said, give me 40% of what's in your wallet, every one of these listeners would agree that I just robbed you. Whether I took it all or 10% or 1%, they would agree that I robbed you if you did not want to give it to me. But when the government comes up and says, hey, it's tax, and if you don't pay me, I'll send these men with guns, it's removed once, it's called tax then. That's not theft, whether you want to pay it or not. You know, to me, that's still theft. So, I mean, I call it what it is.
Well, there's you're adept at picking up many, many, many of the double standards that are out there, and that's why I'm, you know, I wanted to have you on the show and talk about these issues, because, you know, we need to help our fellow citizens to think, and they need to help us think. But we do have a break coming up. Our guest is Ademo Freeman, founder of CopBlock.org. That's C-O-P-B-L-O-C-K, CopBlock.org. And we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks very much for joining us.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education's because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they get by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network.
I will not be taking any questions. As of 10 a.m. this morning, the U.S. Treasury Department has issued a full recall of all 776 billion pieces of U.S. currency in circulation. I know this must seem like a blow coming on the heels of this morning's announcement that our federal budget deficit has passed the $800 billion mark. But regrettably, these particular bills were printed with dye containing toxins that, while completely safe at this moment, will become extremely deadly Friday at exactly 12 noon. As a result, we need to act quickly. Okay, tomorrow all Americans will receive a bag like this in the mail. Do not, under any circumstances, attempt to burn or shred the money yourself. The federal government are the only ones that can destroy the money, as we are the only ones with the proper facilities to do so.
This is a massive recall.
We understand that this recall will be hard on U.S. citizens who will have no more money, but we assure you, if you work hard, you will be eventually able to earn it back.
This is in the best interest of the American people.
This dye poisoning causes your internal organs to rot from within and is really painful until you puke up your guts and die. There really is no time to think about this. Just listen to me and send in the money. Thank you.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Talk. 104 News, sports, and more. The official home of Liberty.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. Soul, pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, the Agent for Truth, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Again, you can join my mailing list, email list, by going to freedomabovefortune.com and clicking on Join Mailing List of all links, and that'll get you dialed in, and I can keep in touch with you on the latest activities. Our guest is Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org, and I think we've had an excellent opportunity to learn more about Ademo and why he does what he does. And now I'd like to kind of branch into copblock itself, maybe starting with Ademo explaining the website, which I'm sure is, you know, one of your best ways to interface with your supporters and interested people. So what kind of information can people find on copblock, and where can they go to find it?
Well, copblock.org is the main page. You get there. We just got a brand new theme. I'd like to thank Blake Imason for that. Great guy over at limecuda.com. But we got a nice new layout. It was kind of newsy. Right on the top, we got a slider. Those are our feature stories. We have about 16 onboard contributors who blog at least once every 2 weeks. They write on a various things. We have George Sand. She's really awesome. She likes to pick out issues of, like, on the national scale. We have people from Austin, Texas, Philadelphia, New York, who try to blog more about their local areas, even Indiana, me up here in New Hampshire, and when I travel around. So you find a great group of individuals with a wide set of diversity on the issues that we like to focus on. You know, I'm primarily video and other things, and these guys write, and we have a forum where Robert hangs out in a lot, so we all have our own skills, and we, you know, contribute them accordingly. But for everybody else that's here, we also welcome as many bloggers as possible. So if you're interested, there is a submit a blog post tab, or submit a post tab, right there on the top of the navigation bar, and people can start sending us posts. And, you know, after a while, if you're good, we get you on board and hook you up with accounts and teach you WordPress and get you active. I always also encourage the people to email me or any contributor. If they go to copblock.org/contributors, they will see a list of a little bio about ourselves, how to connect with us, and where to email us. Me personally, my email is ademo@gmail.com. So if anybody has a video, if they want to put it up on our YouTube channel, because, you know, if John Doe out there has police incident and put it on their YouTube channel, they might not get as many eyes on it right away. We welcome as many people as possible to share their police encounters, whether just filming a cop parking in a no parking zone or someone wrongfully tasing somebody or something like that. Bring your video over to CopBlock, share it there. We got a good base of fans, a lot of eyes on it, and we can, you know, people are starting to come to look to us for the news. And it's, you know, the more eyes we can get on it, like I said before, winning in the court of public opinion is way better than going through years and years of court processes and their hoops. You know, you can seize control by being having the court of public opinion on your side. So other features, we have a forum that we just launched a little while ago. It's still getting off the ground. Like I said, Robert over at CopBlock is heading that up. There's all kinds of forums going on and discussions about connecting with other folks in your area. Every single state is listed out, and we can break it down even further. There's ask contributors questions, like ask a demo anything, questions about recording and please, gear to use, tactics. It's really starting to expand pretty well. So that's copblock.org/forums. And then the YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, you know, get your updates where you can. We have a podcast, like I said, that people can listen to on LRNFM or even podmatic.copblock.org. And they can even get those to their handheld devices, MP3 players or email notifications as well. So we have a copblock.org Android app, iPhone app. You know, we're hoping to expand those to locate where police are, or if you're within X amount of mile radius of another cop blocker who might need assistance or is filming police, that they can update each other by there, you know. And all this stuff has happened from other people bringing their, you know, tacit knowledge and their skill set to copblock.org and just making it a one-stop shop for all forms of accountability, whether you're up in their face saying, why are you arresting this individual, or you're taking more of a cop watch approach and just observing. We like to show people all the tactics every way. You know, people will criticize you and say things, and I just like to say to them, you know, grab a video camera, show me what I'm doing wrong. I really do appreciate feedback. I always do try to read the comments and improve on the suggestions people give to me, as long as they're approaching me in a civil manner. Some people get pretty angry sometimes. But I try to do that. But more so, I encourage folks to get out there and try it. You know, if you think that me filming police is wrong because of these things, show me and everybody else how to correct that. I appreciate that. You know, I'm a visual person. Let's learn from each other. Show me, and I'll adapt the policy as well. Some folks in Pittsburgh, actually, Pennsylvania, just did this, and they started a Pittsburgh cop block group. And so they're breaking it down to even a more local level to, you know, get to know the officers in that area, make it more humanized, to remove that us versus them mentality. And that's what they want to focus on. And I'm all in support. We sent them some stickers. We helped them out with a website. You know, and we can do that for other people as well. You know, if you come into CopBlock, get connected on our Facebook, our Twitter, in the forums, and you'll be amazed who you meet. You'll meet a lot of other people out there. You know, fighting the police alone is a rough battle. So if you can connect with some other people that can help, it'll go a long ways, and that's what we hope to provide at CopBlock.
Well, that's fantastic, and I completely agree with you as far as getting out into the community and being the good face. I mean, from my own experience with the tax movement, for decades the government has cultivated this aura that, you know, people who are commenting or complaining about the tax system are these knuckle-dragging mountain dwellers, you know, who don't want to get along with anybody, and they all have beards down to their belly button. And so it's really helpful, at least I found it to be helpful, to be a clean-cut, polite person who also shares these ideas, you know, about the tax system, various tax systems, income tax specifically. And so, you know, certainly as a comment that I would put out there, as far as I can tell, you're already well aware of it. But, you know, people that might want to join into this effort with CopBlock, you know, would be to always keep in mind that your presence and your impression that you make on other people. And you can alienate a whole bunch of people with just a few words that you know, if you had to do it over again, you wouldn't.
But see, that's what I'm hoping to counter with at CopBlock, because even though some, like there was one individual who sent in a video to CopBlock where he actually was driving by a scene and a guy had got pulled over for like a traffic violation, so he grabbed a bullhorn he had in his car and said, "Stop harassing people who pay your salaries," and the cop ended up pulling him over. And a lot of people were like, well, that's not a good tactic. It makes people who watch the police look bad, or videotape them. You shouldn't videotape them for this. And you know what I mean? Like, other people who are now watching CopBlock, who were CopBlocking, we all kind of learned that, you know, that, hey, you know, to me, like, the neighbors and other people, you know, I care about my community and those who surround me. So, you know, there doesn't need to be a law, but maybe it's not, you know, that's how he will handle it the next time. And not only will he not do it that way, neither will the thousands of people who watch CopBlock, because they see that how that tainted the message from the officer being harassing, which he still was, regardless of what the quote-unquote, you know, issue that provoked him to be harassing was. The officer was still harassing, but you know that, hey, if I want to, if we're trying to make the point is this, then you don't need to poke the bear to do so. You know, the bear does it on his own.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm no psychiatrist or psychologist, but it seems to me that when there's an incident, whether you be seeing it with your own eyes or you come across some video, I think it's a human reaction that you're going to kind of be searching through the footage or the scene, and you're going to take sides. You know, most people are going to take sides, like, well, that guy's being a jerk, or that boy, that person was completely innocent, and look how they were treated. And so if we keep in mind that every viewer is going to take sides, we want to make sure, even though we're not trying to promote this us versus them, but in terms of waking people up to the problem, I think it's really important to always be thinking about how am I being viewed and how will people view this. And if I'm constantly polite, I'm constantly professional, I'm clean cut, I use good language, then no one, the Pope, well, Mother Teresa, the mayor, is not going to say, well, he was doing bad things. Well, how?
Well, I understand that. I understand what you're saying, Joe, and I do agree with you. But for me, like, to me, this is real. Like, I don't stage activism. I don't go out holding a piece of marijuana, though I support the activists that did that here, and call the press and the police and get arrested. You know, mine is more like the real world meets the real world. These are the interactions. I'm out at a protest. I'm traveling around the country trying to share literature of liberty and freedom and how people can improve their lives, and cops come around and harass you. So to me, I mean, I'm the opposite. I'm not the clean cut, whatever. I mean, one time I told the same judge off in January, who caged my business partner and colleague on these adventures, Pete Ayer, for wearing a hat, and it was purely emotional. I lost my cool. I dropped some vulgar language to that judge and said how much I didn't appreciate him putting somebody who's peaceful in a cage for 5 days for a hat. You know, and he then sentenced me to 60 days. He finally let me out after 16. But my point is, a lot of people said that was really bad for the movement or whatever. Well, that's real. I mean, I'm sorry. This is real. You know, putting somebody in a cage is far worse than dropping a couple F-bombs at them. You know, and then forcing thousands of people to pay for it at the barrel of a gun is far worse. You know, so I am who I am. I know that at night when I go to sleep, my conscience is clear that I haven't harmed anybody, that I haven't abused anybody or damaged anybody's property, that the people that are forcing one are the ones who are, you know, going along with the system, using the system, and working, you know, as employees of the system. And so I just hope it's educational. I hope people see it for what it is. I'm going to do me, and if people take value of it, that's what we all should do. Do what you want, as long as you're not harming anybody else, and let's show people where the gun in the room is, because the ones holding the gun are the ones that are claiming to protect you as well.
No, I understand what you're saying, and my point is, it's a good rule of thumb, and I think, I mean, I only met you really as we're doing this show. But I think, yeah, I can just tell you practice that rule of thumb, maybe not all the time, but who among us, you know, can cast the first stone? I mean, we all lose our cool at some point or another. But if we're trying to point out that these particular people with uniforms and badges not only tend to lose their cool a lot, but they don't have any justification. Of all people, they're the ones that need to never lose their cool, because that's what they're being paid to do, to not lose their cool and do the right thing. And right. So the more that we can adhere to that, the more we'll progress. But not to say that, you know, being real or having a videotape of a real altercation where they've pushed you too far, you know, I get all that. I definitely do.
Right. Well, I just hope that people pick up the camera and utilize it for the tool it is. You know, if you're driving home from work and you see somebody pull over and you got a couple minutes, film them, because you don't want to get home and turn on the news and realize that's the person who was assaulted, or that, you know, something happened to, or et cetera. I mean, you never know when it's too late. And police, unfortunately, again, I don't think all police are bad. I think it's the institution that makes them this way. It's the laws. It's the nature of government, which it is to grow and slowly take and take and take until there's nothing more to take. So we just got to show them this. And the video camera is the best way to do it. With a little bit of physical labor from folks. And Unfortunately, I mean, technology is catching up with us, so everybody has this camera pretty much in their pocket with their phone and can take a couple minutes of video, you know, just to hold people accountable, let folks know we're watching.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, as you said, in your own experiences, that camera was better than a big brick of gold just in terms of value to your well-being. And haven't we seen so many examples throughout this country and other countries where if it wasn't for that footage, you know, a lot different result would have come through. Anyway, we got a break coming up, and our guest is Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org. That's C-O-P-B-L-O-C-K, copblock.org. And, of course, he's it's a very difficult, challenging job that Ademo's taken on to himself. And we'll be right back to talk more about it after these messages. We appreciate you joining us.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Several months ago, I watched as Sarah Palin delivered an inspiring speech to the nation. And I was proud to be a conservative. Today's celebration reminds me of just how blessed I am to be an American. When I was given the opportunity to compete in the Tropicana Speech Contest, I knew that I would write about something dear to me, my freedom. My speech is entitled America's Freedom and is dedicated to my great-grandmother Leth, who recently passed away at the age of 95. What do you think about when I say the word freedom? Some think about America being a free country, and others just think about having rights and being free. You probably think this speech is about freedom, but no. It is about how Americans are slowly losing their freedoms. My parents have taught me to love my country, and I appreciate the blood that was shed for our freedom. From the beaches of Normandy to the sands of Iraq, Americans have paid a great price so we could live free. Sadly, many among us just don't seem to care about the sacrifice it took to build this great nation. It seems as though we are more interested in our own pleasures than preserving our independence and liberties. Truth is, there's many who want to change our way of life, who don't respect the great traditions of America. These are the same people who support the growing attack upon our private property in the name of environmental protection, or the recent talk of limiting free speech with the Fairness Doctrine. Now, there's a twist for you. How can it be fair if the people don't get to choose for themselves? Where is the freedom in that? There are those who continually attempt to shoot down our right to bear arms promised by the Second Amendment. On a personal level, we've seen independence, self-reliance, and individual responsibility replaced with complacency and apathy. Today, many of our schools don't teach the values and patriotic pride that my parents were taught just a few years ago. Yeah, a price may have been paid on the battlefield, but the war is far from over. If we don't act now, before it's too late, we won't have any freedoms left, and America will no longer be the America we know and love. John Adams said it best when he wrote, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." I believe we have a patriotic responsibility to stand up to those who seek to destroy these constitutional freedoms. If you believe in the values and principles that make this nation great, and if you enjoy the freedoms we have as Americans, then join me. Join me in standing up to those who seek to destroy these freedoms. Join me in taking back this great nation and protecting our independence and liberties. Because you can make a difference. I can make make a difference. And together, we will make a difference. Thank you, and God bless.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. She didn't just visit the sick and poor. She moved in with them because they needed help. Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest for the show has been Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org. That's C-O-P-B-L-O-C-K, copblock.org. And we've been talking about all kinds of interesting topics relating to copblock and Ademo's own experiences. He walked us through the website during the last segment. I normally try to have these radio shows archived, and they're archived at hearliberty.com. That's H-E-A-R, hearliberty.com. And if you join my email list at freedomabovefortune.com, you can get all those nice links and information right away into your email box. Another issue that I wanted to talk about is I saw a video on CopBlock. I'm not sure if it was you or not, or maybe it was someone else, but I'd like to make a comment. Having been in law enforcement, you know, it wasn't a uniform law enforcement, but nevertheless, and it was in situations where there could be some danger to somebody in the incident, whether it be the person that's being questioned or the officers or agents themselves. And one of the things I noticed in the video is that the person who was videotaping was standing behind one of the officers and, you know, I don't say yelling, but just saying at a very high amplitude of voice, you know, what are you doing, what's going on? And a little constructive criticism that I would give, or, you know, suggestion for the future, and I'd like your comment, is that if it can't be helped that you're standing behind somebody, then what are you going to do? But, you know, when there are guns around and it's dark and there's those kinds of things, I think whether you're a cop or not, you don't know someone and they're standing directly behind you, that can make you on edgy, and certainly when you're in a situation where there are guns and things could happen, I'd suggest, if possible, position yourself so at least the officer can see you. And then also, if there's a direct investigation going on, at least try to space your inquiries in a way that at least they're able to somewhat do their job if they're doing something that's illegal. But I mean, just keep that in mind, that there could be a very good reason why they've stopped someone, and to just jump that it's bad every time they stop someone and then beginning to yell or standing behind an officer where they can't see you, and yet they're trying to focus on this person in front of them. And, you know, there have been incidences where a police officer blinks their eye, and that's enough for a gun to come out and blow them away. So what would be your comments to that, your response to that?
Well, I mean, I agree. I agree with most of what you said. I don't think, you know, people should be as safe as they think is possible when interacting with, I mean, any individual, really, right? You should assess every situation, but more so when it's police because they carry guns and, you know, they're through this mentality that, you know, not many of them get punished when they use them, especially if they use them wrongly. So it's a lot easier for them to make the decision to use them. But I definitely advocate, you know, I like to get pretty, I like to push the envelope as much as possible. And I don't think, you know, a marijuana arrest or speeding, traffic stop is as dangerous as officers think. I mean, the statistics have backed that up. I mean, cops don't even have a top 10 most dangerous job in the world. Roofing, fishermen, some other things, some of which I've done, are more dangerous jobs than police officers have. So I wouldn't, I mean, I wouldn't, like, walk right up next to the cop as he's on a traffic stop, but I'd be a car length or one away, and or so away, if they're arresting somebody, like how they have at, like, 420 rallies or something else. I've in New Hampshire, where the cops are actually quite accustomed to being filmed, been within an arm's reach away from a cop telling him in a cool tone, you know, raised voice a little bit because of the added noise around the area, that I don't appreciate him doing this, and I want him, as my public servant, to let him go, the individual he had handcuffed, but they don't. But so, you know, I guess it's subjective. Whatever an individual is comfortable with, you know, some won't, you know, go within 100 yards and they'll film from a distance and use the zoom. You know, I'd like to make sure I get audio or can hear as much. Even if we're filming traffic stops, when the cop walks away, sometimes I call him to the car and give him a business card and tell him about copblock.org. You know, I don't think this really endangers the officers at all. Again, but it's subjective. Other people can think what they'd like and, you know, do whatever level of cop blocking or police accountability you're comfortable with, you know, and maybe learn as you go and step forward or back whenever you need to.
Yeah, I totally agree. And maybe, you know, I think we might very well be in agreement that anything that somebody engages in, if you're going to be, you are a roofer or you're beginning to be a roofer or any job, you know, start out taking it easy and not thinking that you know it all for anything, because you could end falling off the roof or whatever. And if you just think, hey, I got a video camera and I just know it all on the first date, you could end
right.
up being sadly mistaken.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I can tell people too. If you're new at CopBlock, the best advice I can give to anybody, and I'm glad you segued into this, is that we like to say, am I being detained or am I free to go? Either phrase that works. And if you start feeling police, do it from a distance. And if if it's your first day, especially if you're alone, I definitely wouldn't run up in there alone. But if you're with somebody, still do it from a distance. Have the other person cover you. And if a cop comes up to you, you can just ask, if he says, give me your ID or what are you doing? You can just say, am I being detained? Or you can say, am I free to go? And if they say, yes, you're being detained, you can just be silent and let them do what they're going to do, because it's going to happen anyways. Or if they say, no, you're free to go, you're not being detained, turn around and walk away. There's a great video on copblock.org of this. Pete and I, if you probably YouTube search CopBlock Las Vegas or Nevada State Troopers, you will pop up this video, or it's on our YouTube channel. But Pete and I were filming these guys who had a traffic stop, and they stopped their traffic stop, walked up to us, and were questioning us about filming and what it would be used for, and they wanted our names. And I could tell the situation would get a little sticky, and a couple months before that, we had all our camera gear stolen by the Massachusetts police. So Pete and I had decided that whenever one of us thinks it's getting too fuzzy, just to ask that and leave, and that's exactly what we did, and the cops are just standing there dumbfounded. They have no idea what to do, because they know they can't legally detain us. They couldn't chase us, but so it's a tactic that works. You know, we even used it going through a checkpoint in El Paso, Texas, one that paralleled the border, didn't even cross it, and we had the window cracked open, and we kept asking them, am I free to go? Are we being detained? Am I free to go? There was a little bit more dialogue, but not much, and they just finally said, whatever, go. Because they know that when it breaks down to, the system is based off your compliance. If nobody says no, they continue to take a little more and a little more and a little more. And the people that do say no, they don't even ask them, because they know legally that the checkpoints are unconstitutional, that if they would take you to court or arrest you because you're not complying, that they would lose. And they don't want to lose, because most people just comply. It's a funny thing that when person in a costume and a shiny badge tells people to do something, and most of the time they do it. But hopefully that's changing, because, like I said, a lot of the things that the government does, like when an officer asks you for ID, if you're not suspected of a crime or have broken a traffic law, you do not need to ID yourself. So passengers, I don't know how many of my friends are growing up when I was in cars, we get pulled over as teenagers or young adults, and we ask all of us for ID. I never knew that none of us in the passenger seats or in the back seat didn't have any legal obligation to give the officers our ID. We all just did it. And you know how many people get picked up over that? I mean, just it's ridiculous. So hopefully folks start to ask more questions, question authority, and when they see something they don't like or disapprove of, they just don't assume it's okay because some guy in a costume and a badge is doing it. They question it.
Is there a place on Cop Block or elsewhere where people can look into that issue about giving ID? Because I know I've just seen, you know, especially in the so-called freedom movement, a lot of banter back and forth on that. And I'm curious if you know of a place where people can find out, you know, without having to dig into their own
state. Yeah, there probably is no one uniform answer. You probably will have to check your statutes, county and local. I mean, to me, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, unless this is, you know, papers please Germany, I don't really care what words and papers say. You know, that's the same I feel with filming. If the police officers give me the option to not pay their salary, then I would gladly give them the option on whether or not they can be filmed. And so that's how I feel about this. If I haven't done anything wrong, or if I'm walking down the street, or if I'm at a protest, and even though it's on a sidewalk or whatever, if I'm asked for ID, I'm not giving it to you. I don't even really carry around ID on me anyways. But, I mean, I just think the more people that say no, the less likely they are to enforce these things. I mean, why do I need to carry around ID? I mean, I've had several refusing to ID charges dropped because of the technique we use, but which is asking the officers questions when they ask you questions. And I'll give you a good example of this. And folks can go to copblock.org's YouTube channel and put in Denver arrest, and they will see that the Denver police, while Pete and I were doing some outreach in the RV, they came up and said, "We need your ID." And we're like, "Why?" Or what we asked them is, "Am I legally required to produce that?" And they say, "Yes." And we say, "Can you show me the statute?" And they say, "No." And they say, "Well, then, so I'm just supposed to believe you?" And they're like, "Yes." And then they arrest you, and it comes that doesn't stand up in court. They can't legally just ask you for your ID and make up any charge. We weren't suspected of a crime. They had no victim, and we weren't operating any vehicle. So even though they charged us with resisting arrest and failure to ID, they all got dropped because they had no reason to ask. Now, if we had given them our ID, and maybe, let's just say for some reason, you know, I highly doubt we did, gave alcohol to a minor or whatever they're trying to accuse us from, had we given their ID and, like, cooperated with their investigation, we would have been screwed. But instead, you know, we asked them questions, and they asked us questions. At the end of the day, they had nothing. All they did was arrest us without telling us why. You know, it's not illegal to ask an officer a question. You're not refusing to ID if you're asking questions. They're supposed to know the law. You have every right to ask them about the law in which they're trying to enforce. You know, as long as you're not trying to resist or run away or do whatever, you can ask questions all day long. And it's a very good thing for folks to stick in the back of their head. If an officer says, "Let me see your ID," just ask him, "Am I legally required to produce that?" Because if he can't tell you why you are, it doesn't matter what happens after that. You're going to walk. You know, they've messed up from the start.
And I guess, though, you've learned certainly from time and time again that, well, as you mentioned about the use of force or the monopoly on force, that a lot of times people better be prepared that they may end up going to jail for a while or overnight or a weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, in this past year alone, I've been arrested 9 times. You know, 16 days was the most I spent on a contempt charge, but there's been 4 or 5 nights, but mostly 1 or 2. Yeah, I mean, the closer you push the line, at some point it stops from observation to full-fledged participant. And when the jails are real, the bars are real, the fingerprints, the court records, the time, effort, energy, it's all real. And even myself, man, there's some times where I just sit back and say, "Wow, why do I do this? You know, I'm really sick of courts." Or every time I'm in jail, you know, it's the first 24 hours, you're like, "I just hate these places." You know, it's the worst thing in the world. Like, if we would really think what jails are built for, and if people who have never been to jail would get to go in and see one and ask, talk to the people that are in there, the people who are in jail aren't the people I'm afraid of in society. I've met a lot of good people in jail. You know, they're victims of this war on drugs is a huge, huge supplier of inmates to jail, victimizing, criminalizing innocent, peaceful people. And the other ones are, you know, we're locking people up here in New Hampshire who don't pay child support. I don't know how that makes sense to anybody, but if you can't pay when you're out, how are you going to pay when you're in? You know, and instead they give these guys $50 a day for every day they're in, but they charge taxpayers to pay for it and then give that to the kid. Like, that's just messed up. You know, and we're paying taxes for the facility, so it's just a drain. If we just let them be out and end the welfare program, we could all voluntarily, you know, give our money to them if we needed to, and it'd be a lot cheaper. But
that would make the most sense. But they usually choose the thing that makes the most sense last. Anyway, our guest is Ademo Freeman. We've got one more segment after the break, and we appreciate him joining us. It's copblock.org, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
This is Randall Yearout on jurisdiction. When the U.S. territories applied for admission into the Union as states, the overarching principle that drove this decision was the desire to determine their own destinies and to be removed from what the U.S. Constitution calls the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of the Congress over the properties owned by the U.S. government. When what is now the state of Washington removed itself from this exclusive jurisdiction, it was required to write its own constitution, which would provide for a representative republican form of government for its citizens, such as the case for every state which joined our union. Today, our U.S. government officials and bureaucrats have lost sight of this fact, and now want to reassert exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the states and turn them into administrative subdivisions as though we were territories again. Sorry, U.S. government. But the Constitution says you don't have that authority. And Americans are beginning to realize that our founders intended for the individual states to either succeed or fail based on their own laws and policies. If the people don't like the way a particular state operates, they can move to another one where they do. The way our federal government operates today, the entire nation either succeeds or fails based on the policies of 535 legislators in Washington, D.C. And from what we can see from its history of failed social policies, I don't think these guys could pour sand out of a boot if the directions were written on the heel. We need to replace the socialist mindset in Washington, D.C. and our state governments with a restored American view of law and government.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
The American dream was nurtured in the beginning by Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest defenders of liberty in our history. It was Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence that proclaimed God's plan for government to be ordained. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. He clearly understood that history has proven government to be the tool of the greedy and the power hungry, that mankind, seeking safety, is forever falling into the trap of total reliance on government. He warned, "It is error alone that needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself."
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
I
by President to the Constitution of the American States United and to the Republic which it created, implementing God's governmental plan for man and asking his blessing for its observance, which will provide liberty and justice for all. For all. For all. For all.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are turrets orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any air on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest for this show has been Ademo Freeman. He's the founder of copblock.org. That's C-O-P-B-L-O-C-K, copblock.org. And quite a cornucopia of information at copblock.org. Some pretty amazing video and, the latest abuses of authority relating to officers. And as I say, I saw Ademo interviewed on Gary Franchi's show at RestoreTheRepublic.net and RTR.org. And I really hope that you'll go visit CopBlock because it's incredible, the incidences that they've recorded on video, and you get to see for yourself how working with the law enforcement system and the justice system really works. As far as people you've encountered, well, maybe not so much the people, but in terms of that edge of the system, Ademo, with the arrest, the temporary to semi-permanent incarceration, the conditions of the jails. I know that there's certainly people out there in the population who are like, let them rot in there. I don't care. But
maybe they don't realize how much they're paying for it when they say that.
Yeah, and plus the people that are indeed innocent and are maybe there just because a cop had a bad day, and that could be them one of these days, and I'd highly recommend people recognize that. So what about that aspect of it, the jails themselves, the people that work in the jails, the other inmates? What can you tell us about that, those experiences?
Well, it's rough. I mean, like, I have faith in everybody, right? I hope that at one point we can all come to terms and understand ways to live more peacefully. And I word it that way because when I started doing activism and traveling the country, my goal was to, for lack of a better term, convert everybody. You know, me personally, I am a self-described voluntarist. Basically, you know, instead of saying I'm a Republican or Democrat, I would say I'm a voluntarist. And that a voluntarist believes in voluntary interactions as opposed to man-made or government regulations. So basically I'm saying if you and I come to an agreement, who is anybody else or any entity to say give me 40% or that is illegal or what you're doing is wrong, go to jail. And as long as you're not harming anybody or coercing anybody, essentially using force, you should be free to do your voluntary actions as you wish. Now, when I first started doing stuff, I wanted everyone to understand that. I wanted to give them the teachings of Mises and, you know, Rothbard, Austrian economics, you know, Carl Wattner, who is has a great website, thevoluntarist.com. And I want everyone to see it for the way I see it is. But I've come to understand over traveling in that we are a country of 300 million people, and we will all never agree on one type of governance. So, you know, for me, it's more about just showing people what the violence there is and hoping that even if they can't agree to want what I want, which is a voluntary society, one without any coercion or government, and if they don't want that, then fine. Will they at least not force me to pay for what they do want? Meaning that if me and my friends in New Hampshire bought up all this property and lived next to one another and we were all great and we said, all right, no more government, no more Congress, we're all fine. If people wanted to buy all of Massachusetts and have a Congress and a government, I'm fine with that too. Just don't send them with guns to my house and say I owe you money when I don't agree to it. And I'm fine with that. So we can all have our little different communities and do whatever and come and go. And if I have to drive into Massachusetts and I know that there's a government and DUI laws and drug prohibition works there, then fine. If I absolutely have to go there, I will weigh the cost for that. But most likely, I will just stay out of Massachusetts. So that's where I'm at now. I just try to be me. You know, we try to do what we do. Pete and I are of the same mindset. We also, you know, try to be educational. We point our cameras at a lot of stuff. Don't get me wrong, if I'm filming something I don't necessarily agree with, I might add that in. But, you know, I encourage people to visit as many websites as possible. Check out other police accountability blogs, you know, the Thin Blue Line and others. Cop Watch is another organization that does essentially what we do. See what fits you, you know. Don't just hear it from me. Research the war on drugs and the prison systems and go sit in your local courtroom for a day and watch how many people plead out, and it's all about money. Watch how individuals get taken from their families, you know, because of child support that they can't make on the outside, and then they make everyone pay for it while he sits on the inside. You know, I'm not making this stuff up. You know, judges lie, cops abuse power and kill people. I mean, people steal money, and the biggest organized gang in the world is the police force. You know, I don't hate cops. I don't wish them any harm, but I just wish they would realize that if they would use the private market on a voluntary basis, they would be more peaceful and profitable and more efficient. But what we got to do is just, you know, someone's got to start it, and I don't mind being the guy who's saying, here's a place to do it.
Have you encountered any officers who have described the system as something that promotes corruption and promotes abuse like that?
Absolutely. I mean, well, what is the quote by Lord Akron? Power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, that's clear. You give anybody, Judge Burke was the perfect example of that. In a courtroom, when he's on the bench, he's used to being able to do whatever he wants, and he thought he got extended to the hallway. And if I hadn't stood up and had a video and fought it, it would have, and then the hallway would have turned into the road, and the road would have turned into anywhere he went, you know. And next thing you know, Burke is running Keene as a dictator. I mean, some people that are listening might say that sounds really extreme, but that's probably not too far off of what could happen. Maybe not him, but the next judge, you know. A lot of folks during the 08 election said Obama could change it all, and I strongly disagreed with that. But when I'd ask them, okay, fine, let's say Obama can change the world, what about the next guy? What if he doesn't do what you want to give the powers to this person to do at this time? Then what? You know, that's why even if it could fix it now, you still can't let that happen because you don't know about the next guy, and that's the problem with the system. So,
well, couldn't agree about that, and I think many Americans, and I used to be one. Still some things I could, I'm sure, work on or think about, but that thought of if we don't do something to curb the tyranny now, the oppression now, or the abuses now, it's going to get worse, because another, I think, human frailty is to, you know, cover your tracks and, you know, make things better for yourself, even if it's at the expense of others. And certainly people in government are no exception to that predilection.
Oh, absolutely. I tell all people, like, if people say now, like, think about your kids. You know, I got a lot of folks who say, like, oh, I would be in the bus with you guys if I didn't have children and so on and such. And, like, I understand everyone has their own line. I don't judge. But when you really break that down, it's like, well, you know, you're not going to do it because you have kids. And what do you think their life would be like if you don't say no now or because you didn't or whatever? And, you know, I'm not knocking on anybody. We all have, you know, some great family folks who are behind the scenes play their role very well, being a supporter and helping us with things. But I know we all have our own minds, but at the end of the day, the argument still doesn't stand because, you know, there's going to be problems here when you're gone or later in life, and if you don't face them today, how hard will it be tomorrow?
Absolutely. And if you've already outlined, you know, and hopefully lots of people listen to this show and to the archive, that CopBlock has opportunities for all kinds of contributions.
We're going to help people. I mean, not everyone's a blogger. Not everyone's a videographer. Not everyone knows how to do networking and how to share a story or get it on Reddit, vote it up. You know, people are looking at 15,000 websites. You know, we're just trying to make an impact at one spot. You know, people who can come here who aren't very good at writing can write up a story. We can have some editors help edit it up. If you have video, we can get it on YouTube. We can edit it for you if you'd like. We can reach people. We can contact other folks, you know, and as a team, you know. So anybody who's feeling alone will definitely have a friend at CopBlock if it's police-related and they're looking for accountability.
What would you say is the most egregious, even if you can't name just one, the most egregious abuse that you've seen happened to you, and then that has happened to someone you know, or that you've you know, either witnessed or seen through video?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I don't know. I mean, I was caged for months for selling a plant. You know, I mean, that's pretty crazy. You know, to take some. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever been, if they have not been to jail, just lock yourself in your basement. I'm not talking about one of your finished basements, but like the old cinder brick concrete wall basements. And just stay down there as long as you can. You know, don't come out. Whatever you can bring down there, go ahead and get a toilet and a sink and some snacks and some okay, like, old high school food. But other than that, don't leave the same room. I mean, and that's what it's like. And to do that to people who are voluntarily putting something in their body or trading a good or service to another person that's agreed upon by both people is just, I mean, it's crazy to me. But so that's probably, for me personally, the one I haven't witnessed an absolute, like, beating or anything like that, but, I mean, I've seen videos, you know, the more I've gotten involved with CopBlock, I mean, in St. Paddy's Day, and I believe it was, like, Boston or something, a cop slammed a woman right on her face. I mean, cops recently in Miami unloaded on a car, you know, and then came after people who had video cameras nearby and smashed their phones. I mean, that was scary. You know, my heart's racing for some of that stuff. You know, you got the Jefferson Dance Hall thing going on where people are getting dancing in the public square. I mean, there are definitely a lot of examples of the police state. And, you know, most of our videos do pretty well, but sometimes I wonder how we don't get the million view hits and stuff. So hopefully folks, you know, can help us out with that. You know, just, you don't have to be grabbing a camera to be involved with CopBlock. You go to coplock.org/beactive. There's ways to be involved with, like, voting up things on Reddit, sharing things on social networks, writing press releases, trying to get it in the mainstream media. There are definitely roles that can be played that aren't so risque and that will lead to a cage, but are definitely of importance and carry a great value, you know, at CopBlock's message.
Well, I imagine people can see, you know, if you've never been in law enforcement or you've never been arrested, you know, watch a few of those videos to see how things can get out of control real quick. And again, at least before you go out and do it yourself, you know, you might want to watch a few dozen videos and take notes and think about it. Because again, the more people that keep a cool head and, you know, use reason as they're in these situations, I think, you know, the longer you'll be able to do this kind of activism and not, you know, get yourself shot or harmed permanently by one of these out-of-control officers.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, I had one guy in New Jersey kind of steamroll me a little bit, but that's the closest I've ever gotten to actually being assaulted. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of roles that folks can play, and, you know, if somebody is out there and they go watch Cop Lock or they get over to LibertyOnTour.com and they like what we do and they like our work, please, you know, visit the support tabs. That's coplock.org/support. We really like to thank people who donate money to us, so we got a lot of cool T-shirts, stickers. We can do video thanks things and other things. So head over to coplock.org/support. If you like our work, you know, donate a little bit of FRN's time, money, goods, and we'd be happy to thank you with some of ours. So.
Fantastic. Well, our guest has been Ademo Freeman, the founder of copblock.org, C-O-P-B-L-O-C-K, copblock.org. And also you can go to libertyontour.com. Highly recommend you check out the copblock.org website and, you know, support Cop Block with your donations. They do have a lot of cool-looking shirts and stickers and business card-type things with the little real money in them, which I've seen Drew Phillips distribute before. That's really a cool idea.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you very much, Ademo, for coming on the show. And all the listeners, thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again another week with another interesting guest. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to support LWRN.net. Take care.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It seems these days I'm in a haze and I can't concentrate on things, can't eat or sleep, feel incomplete and kinda scared and creepy. I look over my shoulder lots and shudder when I watch TV. I bite my nails and cuticles and watch my words very carefully. I bite my lip a lot and fidget with the buttons on my blouse. Why? Because there's a communist living in the White House. Why aren't people shocked or something? Why aren't people up in arms? Does anyone read history or see red flags or hear alarms? The streets are filled with deaf and dumb as I squeak like a mouse. There's a communist living in the White House. You may say, do I have any evidence to support my suppositions? His grandparents were socialists. His mother was. His father was a communist. He had Marxist professors. He taught a course in college on Saul Alinsky. He told Joe the Plumber on the campaign trail, spread the wealth, which is a direct quote from the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx. He appointed Van Jones to be his green job czar. Van Jones is a purported communist. His church of 20 years, with Jeremiah Wright preaching, was black liberation theology, which is actually Marxism. Then as soon as he got in office, he had the government take over the banks and the car industry, and now he's trying to jam down our throats socialized medicine and the cap and trade. I mean, how much more proof do you want? Everybody, there's a communist living in the White House. Now what are we going to do about it?
Every day with Frank Talk, World Forum, News, Sports, and More. The official home of Love Back, Linus, Alex Jones, Mark Levin, and the hosts of Liberty Works Radio Network.
Committee vote on whether to act on the matter of the bat, which has been trapped in this chamber for the past 15 minutes. All those in favor of attempting to capture the bat, say aye.
Aye.
It's clear that the majority of those present feel we need to act. I therefore propose that we have all the lights in the chambers turned off and all the windows open. The bat will fly towards the sunlight and out the window.
No, Mr. Chairman, I respectfully disagree. The best plan of action is to capture the bat and then release it outside.
Oh!
Get out!
Representative McCullough, I believe that catching the bat would prove extremely difficult. It's very fast.
Well, I have read that...
Killing back the Bears every day with Frank Turk. Wall 4 News, Sports, and More. The official home of Red Back, Glamis, Alex Jones, Marky Rinn, and the hosts of Wicked Witch Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
In 1987, some inner city first graders were promised a college education. Now, this promise didn't come from a wealthy corporation. It came from Oral Lee Brown, who saved a large portion of her modest income every year for these children.
She told Ms. Brown, you can't do everything I said, no, but we need to do more.
And she did more by sending 19 kids to college, helping others pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.